you will hear, the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Do you realize what that's saying? See, there's some people that think, they get saved and they think, well, I read my chapter every day. Well, woohoo! Praise the Lord if you've been saved a week. And they think that's all there is to it. But I mean, it's not. That's not all that there is to it. He said, therefore, the attention that you give what you hear. When you hear the word on prosperity, when you hear, is there anybody in here that you heard the word about salvation, whatever that the case may be, and you got born again the first time you heard it? You serious? Was there anything wrong with the word that you heard? No, there was something wrong with you. And the Bible talks about something wrong with the heart. Now let's go on here. Let's go back to Mark 4. We'll start in verse 3. It says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass. Hold up just a second. I forgot. While you hold your place here and go over to Luke 8 and hold your place there. We got to have both of these chapters here to understand this a little bit better. We're going to be going back and forth on it. All right, so hold both places. It says, and hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some he started sowing seed by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Now look at Luke. Verse 5, he says, a sower, this is the same account, just a few different words. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and what? They stepped on it. What's that mean, just like you did? Nobody in here raised your hand that the first time you ever heard something pertaining to the gospel that you got born again. Now notice here, let's see if I can find it right quick. Verse 11 of Luke 8, he says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and what? Be saved. We're going to be looking at this, and 75%, around 75% of the people that heard this word brought no fruit. These people right here that he's talking about, they heard the word. It was seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed, but what'd they do? I don't need that religion stuff. It's just a crutch for weak people. That's what Scotty used to think. He's a man, you know. He's 5'5", or 5'6", excuse me, I'm 5'5". He's 5'6", and he's all man. I don't need to be one of them pansy Christians toting their Bible under their arm, driving their new cars, and I love you, brother, with the love of the Lord. No, he didn't need Jesus, did he? But one day he came. What is that? That's pride in a person's heart. We all need Jesus. I don't care if you are what the world calls a goody-two-shoes, and you think you never do nothing wrong, according to the word, we was all born into the cesspool of sin. Therefore, we must be born again. But some of us, it takes a little hardship in our life. Why? To change our heart. Most people that I have talked to before, not all, but a lot of people that I have talked to, something traumatic happened in their lives. And what it done was they become humble enough to say, I need you, Jesus. I don't have all this worked out. I can't do this by myself. Not that he's a crutch, but the thing about it, you're never going to make it in this world and be successful according to God's standards without him. Now, you might to the world, but how many knows there's a world quickly coming. Whether you go by way or the grave or he comes first, that is eternity. This one is puff of smoke, a vapor, the Bible says, right? So this is not the one that I need to be so greatly concerned about. But he says, as he sowed the word, as they heard the word, they trodden it underfoot. They didn't think nothing about it. I don't need that. I don't care about that. That's not important in my life. I know it says that, but whatever the case may be, it was they trodden it under their feet. Therefore, they got no fruit of it. The Bible says if the gospel is hid, is hid to those who the god of this world, which is Satan, has blinded their hearts and minds, lest the glorious light of the gospel shine in. This right here is exactly what happened. Their hearts and minds are blinded. So the word did not come to any kind of fruit in their life. It says, verse 4, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Verse 5, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. Now go over to Luke 8, verse 6. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. What makes you moist? What makes your heart moist? Y'all remember in the Word, it talks about the Holy Spirit as a type of water. It talks about a washing of the water of the Word. When you spend time with Him, it makes your heart moist. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? When you spend time in His presence, it changes you. It changes your outlook. It changes the filter that you're looking at things and people through. You have a relationship with Him. These people, they had heard the Word. They got born again, so to speak, but they never went on beyond that. Their heart is still stony. There's no moisture in it. What's that mean? When the Word comes that it says forgive. Oh, here we go. You don't know what they done to me. I don't find where it matters. If we are a Christian, it's not a if we want to. It's a command to forgive. And some people can hurt you and cut you so deep that it feels like, and the devil will tell you, and other people will pat you on the back, well, it's okay. We know what they did to you. Don't listen to that. Why? That makes your heart stay stony. And that word, when you hear it, it's going to come and it's going to spring up and it's going to look all good till the heat comes. And then it's just gone. It's gone. Let's look on here. Verse 6 says, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Over there in Luke it says, because it had no moisture. And let me tell you something. We read it last week about where Paul said, I planted. Talking about he planted the gospel. He said, and Apollos what? Watered it. How you get some moisture? Water. How do you water? Well, according to that scripture, Apollos watered how? By preaching the same word that Paul himself had preached. The first time you hear it is planting. Everything else after that is watering. And there's not a seed in the earth that doesn't need some kind of level of water. Not a one. Even you. Even me. He goes on here. Excuse me. It says, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it ain't been allowed to go very deep. It says it withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Now, let's see what that says over here in this one. I don't think I got one marked for that, but. Because it lacked moisture, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up. And they choked it. All right, let's go on here. It says, verse 8, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30. They didn't get 100-fold, but they got a little bit. Why? Because of the value they placed on the word and the attention and study they gave to what they heard is what makes the difference in some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And how much you water it. It says, another fell on good ground. So there's a difference in the ground. And did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. And brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now look back over there at continue reading here in verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. In other words, we don't get this. Tell us. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of what? The kingdom of God. It says, but unto them that are without, in other words, they're not born again or outside, he said, of the kingdom, All these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. Look back over at Luke 8. Because I'm having to go back and forth. I got some of this wrote down on my paper here. Where he's explaining it here, verse 11, he says, Now the parable is this. The seed is what? The word of God on Luke 8. So, I mean, there's no we're having to guess at this stuff, right? I mean, he's plainly laying it out. Now, he says, sower sows the word. Luke 8 over there says that the seed is the word of God, 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, we know it because they got trodden down. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure before a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises because of what? The word's sake, immediately they are offended. Go back over to Luke 8. He said, verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. This whole thing is telling us why some of these people are not receiving fruit from the word. There was nothing wrong with the word. And we want to make sure that we're not in this number. I don't know about y'all, but I want to bring forth fruit from the word 100-fold. Not just 30, but I want 100. He says here, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they heard go forth and are choked with cares. That's one category. Listen, if you are lying awake at night trying to figure things out, you're not in faith and you're choking out the word. You are allowing the word of God that says he'll take care of you, that says he'll supply for you, that says he loves you, that tells you he loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. You are allowing that word to be choked out. Why? Because of cares. I don't care what the care is. You cannot have a problem. You cannot have a cure. You cannot be going through anything that he doesn't have an answer for. But laying awake at night and trying to figure it out and going getting a loan from this company to pay this company. Do you understand? All this stuff's crap. The world is designed this way. So you fail. But the word of God is for us so we succeed. We bring forth fruit 100-fold. We live debt-free lives. We're blessed so we can be a blessing to others that maybe they have need right now that they don't know some of the things that we've learned and that we apply, right? But he says there, in time of temptation, they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they heard the word, they go forth and are choked with cares. The Bible says, 1 Peter 5, 7 through 9, do what? Cast all. Cast your kids. Cast your husband daily. Husband over on the Lord. He's a good husband. When it is late, I'm just kidding. Whatever it is, your job, your co-workers, whatever it is, he said, if it's a care, cast it over on the Lord and don't take it back. Every time the thought comes to you to take it back or to worry about that or try to fit. Listen, God's got 101,000 ways to figure out your problem that ain't even crossed your mind yet. So get over it. Why? So you can live free. He goes on. Excuse me. I keep losing my place here. He says they're choked with cares. Now notice this next one. And what? Riches. Listen, honey, I have experienced that you got problems when you ain't got no money. You got different problems when you got some money. Yeah, y'all didn't know that? Y'all act like y'all don't know nothing. Let me just tell you, When I ain't got no money, I'm trying to figure out what bill is the most important that I have to pay, and I try my best to be led. So there is no extra. So I don't got to be concerned about that. But at the same time, I got to keep giving. Y'all didn't say nothing. I got to keep giving. I got to keep tithing. I got to keep sowing. Why? Because that's the word that I have been putting in my heart for 20-something years. And it's not going to change. But it can change me. It can change my situation if I let it. But he says they're riches. See, I know people that when they got born again and they began to serve, I'm telling you, their life was such a wreck. Some of them had been in the, for lack of a better word, I can't even think of it now, the loony bin. What is that, Bryce's or something other, whatever it is. I mean, real problems. Some of these people have got mind problems, different things like that. I'm not trying to make fun or anything. I'm serious. I know them. And get born again and start hearing the word and letting the word go in, have absolutely nothing. Getting $300-something food stamps a month, and they heard the word about tithing. They didn't have any money except just a little bit, and they would tithe on their $10 or whatever they got, but begin to tithe their canned stuff to our food pantry. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. Why? They heard the word. They began to do the word. They didn't let the problems come in and cares and all this stuff and choke out the word, and the word began a little bit at a time, bringing a harvest. To the point to where they can't even draw food stamps no more. Why? Make too much money. They just got smart all of a sudden. No, they didn't. I just told you they had already been, I don't know if it was Bryce's or another place. They had already been there, and they got a little better, so they let them go. But then they're still on all this psychosis medicine and all this other stuff. And a little bit of time, the word of God about healing and health and controlling your mind and all these scriptures began to come in. And it began to spring up, not overnight. What seed do you plant that, I mean, overnight has a tomato on it? Or an acorn or whatever? None. You got to let it stay in there. You got to keep watering it. But over a period of time, they let it stay in there. They kept coming to church, kept hearing the word, kept doing the word. And before you know it, they too increased to draw food stamps. Ain't on no kind of medication whatsoever. You cannot attribute that to people. If they could have done all that, why didn't they do it before the word? Because they couldn't. The devil had them in such bondage and poverty and in just thinking in their mind. If you'll put the word of God in and let it renew your mind, what do I mean by that? Scotty is probably one of the most poverty-thinking person I have ever met. He just thought poverty. One of the reasons why he stole stuff is because he didn't have no money to buy nothing. And I mean, you got all these brothers and sisters, what do you do when they got something, you go in their room? You just steal it. So he just carries that on in adulthood. Just keeps stealing and stealing and stealing. But it was like in his mind, he honestly believed in his mind and in his heart, I can never have anything but God. God comes along. God hooks us up at a good church. God hooks us up with people, ministers on TV. I mean, we used to have nothing but Sky Angel. You get Andy Griffith as a movie and, I can't remember. A couple of Bonanza was one of. Other than that, it's 24 hours, 7 days a week preaching. And at that time, TBN would they called a praise-a-thon. Did y'all ever see them? Oh, I loved praise-a-thon. It's day and night, Holy Ghost singing, anointed preaching, 24 hours a day for weeks at a time. I mean, at one point, Travis, he's probably about 5 or 6. We got that on, and boy, we're listening, and it's good. He's about 5 or 6. All of a sudden, something hits him. And he starts running as fast as he can around and around and around our coffee table. And we're just looking at him like, ooh. Why am I telling you all this? Because that word's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I mean, we had dial-up at the time, and God had hooked us up on TV. I found out about some ministers on TV. I heard things that they were saying, and oh, it was good. My ear was tasting it. Like my mouth tastes cheesecake. My ear was saying, I'm reading a book right now. I told Scotty last night, I almost read it yesterday, but I like a little bit. I told him, I said, this book is like eating when you're hungry. If you've never been there, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. The Bible says the Word of God is spiritual food. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, the words I speak to you, he said, they are life and they're spirit. Oh, when you get a hold of good word, it's like eating when you're hungry. But anyway, we had dial up, and I would hear these ministers, and I'd write down their names so I wouldn't forget it, and I'd go in there at the computer, you know, that dial up stuff, you know. It would take me, Sandy, weeks to download. They would have like three, four, or five messages, you know, series, kind of like what we do here sometimes, you know, on one particular subject. And it would take me a week or two sometimes just to get those downloaded. That word's not going to be trodden under my feet, Dave. The Word of God was so precious to me. You can't love Jesus more than you love the Word. Why? He is the Word. That's why it says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive. He's alive. And when the Word of God is precious to you, Jesus is precious to you, you don't let none trodden under your feet. Because you know that you need every last morsel that is in those. They are so good to you. I don't know what got off on that board, but it's good to me. Woo, I feel better. Where was we at? Y'all remember what verse we was on? 14? And that which fell among thorns are they which when they heard go forth and are choked with cares. We don't want none of that. We got the word for that. Cast the care, right? And riches. We love God, not money. We use money like a tool. God will let you have anything and everything richly to enjoy, he says. But what's he say, the first part? Be ready to distribute. See, that was the rich young ruler's problem. The Bible says he had many possessions. He come to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, go sell all you got, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And he's like, sorry, can't do that. So you can have all the money you want and need, but you can't let it have you. God's got to have you. We be ready to distribute at any time. Everything that I've got, it can go at any time. And I have to keep my heart that way, because if not, things will dry up, Sandy. Right? We go on here. And he says, cares and riches and pleasures. I've got to a place now where I don't think I need to go to church that much anymore. Come on, y'all say amen. If you agree with this or you don't, either people say it or they don't. See, sometimes after you've been saved for a while and your life's got better, see, a lot of people, they don't want to put the word in. That's work. God forbid I have to work. Everything that's spiritual is supposed to be easy, ain't it? Jesus already did it all. Please, this is a working covenanted relationship. He already did all of his part, but now I have a part that I have to come along and do. And one of the main things is I hear the word and I get born again. The Bible says the same way you receive Christ, walk ye in him. How did you receive him? You heard something about the gospel. Maybe not the first time you acted on it, but sometime or another, if you got born again, you heard it again, or the Holy Ghost brought that same word up to you, and you was in a place that you believed that word in your heart, and did what? Said it out of your mouth. And the Bible says the second you did, bam, you are born again. You are now a new creation that you never even was before and that you never will be again. Right? But he says there are pleasures. I think I go to the flea market this morning. See, y'all don't have to say nothing, because I've lived this, been there, done that. That's how come a backslid. Why? The Word of God, the things of God's not becoming, they're being as important to me as what they once was. When you happens, you're slipping. A red light better start going off, baby. You are slipping. And the thing about flesh is, I don't care if it's my flesh, your flesh, your mama's flesh, your daddy's flesh, papa's flesh. It don't, flesh is flesh. And flesh will do whatever you let it do. Don't you ever look at somebody and say, I would never. Honey, you better look 2 weeks down the road. You'll be writing it yourself and can't figure out how you got there. But oh, if you stay on the word, you stay in fellowship with him, you pray, you meditate on that word day and night, you let it stay in you, you keep it. Ain't nothing more pleasurable to me than serving God. Does my flesh ever want to do something else? Sure it does. What do? Not today. If I got a flea market Saturday, adios, I'll be gone. But when it's on Sunday, no ma'am. Not because I have to, because Jesus makes me, or I won't be a good Christian if I don't. Thing about it is, I know for me, if I don't, I won't be one long. I done seen what this flesh can do, and I don't like it. It's not good. That's why we have to pray lots for Travis. He has my flesh and Scotty's. Jesus helps him. It says, in pleasures of this life. And what happens? And bring no fruit to perfection. They got a little bit of fruit, Sandy, but it never did ripen up. Over here in the Amplified, it says it this way. Let me read it. And as for what fell among the thorns, these are the people who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked and suffocated with the anxieties and cares and riches and pleasures of life. And their fruit does not ripen. It does not come to maturity and perfection. Verse 16. No man, when he hath life... Oh, I'm sorry. Skipped this first 15, didn't I? It says, but that on the good ground are they. Now notice this. Mark 4 doesn't say this. It says, but that on the good ground are they, which in a what? Honest and good heart. The seed didn't change. The heart of the person is what made all the difference. Those that their heart wasn't... The word or Jesus wasn't precious to them. Just trotted underfoot. No fruit to perfection. Those that when the heat was on, when somebody does something to me and the word tells me to forgive and I don't want to forgive and I'm not going to dig up that fallow ground that the Bible talks about in the Old Testament. Have any of y'all ever planted a garden and it's never been planted there before? Oh, man. That's work. I got a nephew over here. He made a garden. Jeffrey. He made his garden with a shovel. He's a big boy. He's kind of like Nebo. He's big, you know. And he's just out there with a shovel. And I mean, he's just digging that dirt up and turning it over and getting the rocks. Why? He wants a garden that bad. Well, do you realize that in our hearts, God knows secret chambers that's in there. He knows what kind of junk is in the closet. Nobody else may not see it. Nobody else may not hear it. But he knows it. And if I don't want my heart to be stony to where when I hear that word and it springs up, woo, we're going to have a tomato or whatever, then when heat comes. See, go back over here. I've got to read this and I've got to stop because my time is already up. God, y'all just suck the time down, don't you? Notice verse 17. He says, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. I got crucified for believing in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues. Scotty was one of them. Which I didn't tell nobody when I was believing, but it was after I received. And one time we was praying with some people and I started praying in tongues, you know, not loud, but I mean, that's what I do or whatever. Oh, they told me straight to my face, that's of the devil. Y'all didn't hear what I said. When affliction and persecution, I don't want to be made fun of. Well, you poor little thing. I was believing the word of God on that prosperity. And here come along my so-and-so or whatever. You know, that's not right. How dare you believe God that if you give in Luke 6:38, that it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom. See, you put that in there, you better believe you're going to get some persecution. The devil wouldn't be the devil if he didn't do it. So what you going to do? You going to let it go? You going to quit believing it? You going to believe whatever they say? I guarantee you the people that tells you that are broke. And they don't want you getting more or better off than what they are. Y'all hear what I'm telling you? I've got to stop because actually our time is actually a little bit over. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share on this subject or...